Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Well, welcome to New Life Live. Larry Sonnenberg here this morning, sitting in for Steve. And I've got Dr. Jill Hubbard sitting with me.
Yes. Hi, Larry.
And Dr. Alice Benton.
Hello.
I'm the only non-doc here, so be kind to me.
A non-woman.
That's right.
Larry, there's something I want to just quick share with our listeners, if that's okay with you.
Okay.
I got a couple of spider bites a week or so ago, and they are not healing like they should be. And I'm walking into some unexpected medical problems and some pain, limping, trouble sleeping. And it got me thinking about all of you, our listeners, that deal with chronic pain. And as I have been relatively healthy and I recover from things very quickly, I realize I have been judgmental and critical of you folks that are dealing with true pain on a long-term basis. And I bet you have felt judged by a lot of us. And honestly, I want to apologize to you because, my goodness, I have an end in sight to this pain. You folks may not, and I want you to know I've been praying for you, and you've been on my heart, and I ask for your forgiveness that I've been judgmental of you. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Wow, Alice.
Those spider bites are something. I remember having some on my legs and ankles, and they were some of the worst, ugliest things that lasted a long, long time. So
it's shocking how bad it can
get. Yeah, we'll be praying for you. You know, Lisa, the one who produces this program, helps us figure out what to say and when to say it.
Tells us when to show up,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. She was sharing with me an article, and it was kind of interesting. She made a comment that, you know, some people are so opinionated about others' mental health that they don't stop and think about their own. And she was referring to Simone Biles.
Mm-hmm.
And she sent a quote from an article that she read online where Simone says, "These Olympic Games, I wanted it to be about myself." As she said this last week, as her voice shook with emotion, tears welled up in her eyes. "And I came in and I felt I was still doing it for other people. And it hurts my heart that doing what I love has been taken away from me to please other people." Mm. What do you think about that?
I think it kind of goes in line with what I was saying. It's so easy for us to judge when we haven't been in a similar position. And mental health issues especially, because you can't see them. You can look at my spider bites and have empathy for me, but you can't see anxiety and depression and overwhelm on the outside necessarily. Empathy and compassion, that's what Jesus modeled. It always gets us farther than criticism and judgmentalism.
Mm-hmm. I know this has been very controversial. I don't think she would have done that had she felt like she had any other option. And you're right, it's really easy to criticize. And I know that as a country, as the world, we expect excellence from the Olympics, right? And we expect people to be prepared. But what about when you're not? Do you put yourself in danger? Because I've heard further things about her physically having some difficulties, too. So
that's another good point. We rarely know the entirety of the story.
Yeah.
And
right.
When we lack information, we're more likely to be judgmental.
Mm-hmm. I was with a doctor recently, and she was saying she was a gymnast in her earlier years. And she said, people don't know the things that she's doing. They are so incredibly difficult dangerous. That they really don't have room to be critical of this woman for what she's experiencing. So it was just kind of interesting. We're going to be here for 2 hours. Call us at 800-229-3000, and these two doctors will give you good advice. And we look forward to doing that. Also, Boy, I had an ulcer right in my mind, the tip of my tongue, and it disappeared.
Also, we have lots happening at New Life, Larry.
Boy, we do.
And we're going to share that as
we
time
do.
Goes on.
And
right?
We'll share what Steve's doing in a little bit.
Yes.
But anyway, call us. We want to help. We love what we're doing, mm-hmm. but we need you. We can help you with any situation. Give us a call. Be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back. I want to remind everybody, Steve is filling in as a host of the Frank Sontag Show, which is a local Christian station here in L.A., KKLA, and it's on from 3 to 5 p.m.
Yeah,
Pacific time. You can listen anywhere in the country on KKLA.com, but in Southern California, it's 99.5 FM. And listen in to Steve. He's always got a lot to say, and he's a wise man. I don't want to say he's a wise guy, but he's
well,
a wise.
He's also that.
he can be.
He can be. But, well, and Larry, and I tuned in during his second hour, just in between appointments that I had, and heard him tell a couple stories, and I thought he sounded great.
Yeah. So tune in and hear Steve on KKLA today. Okay, let's go right to the phones, and let's talk to Patrick in Riverside, California. Listens on our app. Hello, Patrick. How can we help you?
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate your ministry. I've been a supporter for quite a long time.
Thank you.
I just thank you for everything you guys do. I mean, it's just amazing. I have a deep wound from just not having any family. I was a home alone kid. I kind of had to kind of meet my own needs, you know. My dad had full custody, and my mom was kind of out of the picture, and that was kind of, my dad would put messages in my head, oh, your mom doesn't love you, you know. So I didn't bond with my mom or my dad, so I didn't really have much there, and I'm like, my wound kind of really hits when I go to I have a granddaughter, and my daughter has get-togethers, you know, parties and stuff like that. And her husband has, you know, all kinds of family, aunts, uncles, cousins. And I'm like the only person there. And it kind of makes me feel very uncomfortable. And then it kind of reminds me of what I don't have. And even my kids don't know the aunts, uncles, cousins. So how do I deal with this?
Wow, Patrick. Thank you for sharing. I know so many people where life has not turned out the way they had hoped, and the family that they had longed for or wanted just fell apart, right? I mean, we see so many people mm-hmm. in this situation, and it is heartbreaking, and you do feel a void there. This is something that we deal with our clients in therapy all the time.
That's right.
I mean, one of the biggest things, and we're always pointing back to it, are those childhood wounds. And in order to move forward in that, you do have to take a season to look at it and to grieve the losses and to realize that, okay, this may be the family you had, but it doesn't have to define who you are as a person. There are ways to rise above that. And then sometimes when we don't have the people that we want in our lives, we have to bring others in. And so I hear that you married into a family with a lot of people around you. And while you may be focused on what you lack, I'm wondering how it is for you to lean in and embrace these people who now call you family. And can you see yourself as part of their family?
Yeah, I struggle with that. I feel kind of like an outsider, you know, like I'm not wanted, kind of maybe even like my childhood. I didn't feel wanted.
What's your friendship circle like?
I have a men's group that I'm a part of. Church lately has been kind of church hopping. I haven't really gotten fully involved with the church, so I do have a good solid men's group, and I'm thankful for that.
So, Patrick, I'm going to guess that you might hold back a little bit in relationship because relationship has been so unsafe for you. And so part of feeling like an outsider is the way other people have rejected you. Absolutely. And part of it is also you might keep people at arm's length because mm-hmm. you'll get hurt again if you get too close. Does that ring true for you?
Oh, my gosh. That is just so... That's perfectly mm-hmm. spot on.
Yeah.
So the healing process involves finding a safe enough relationship, mm-hmm. and sometimes that has to start with a therapist where there is mm-hmm. such professional structure and protection around it that you are willing to take risks and they guide you how to do that. But then it has to expand beyond that, where you start admitting to your men's group, if that's mm-hmm. safe, I still feel like an outsider in this group. And you might pick a family member to say, I feel like an outsider here. And the therapist helps you build the ability to have these conversations because they're terrifying to have because of what you've been through. And also, the therapist helps you to see what are you doing that keeps you outside of relationship when you have a good need to be on the inside of these relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go ahead.
We develop a narrative, Patrick, about our lives, and then we carry that through and we reenact it in our new relationships. I can't think of anything more painful than feeling like your mother didn't love you, right? But we really don't know the truth in that. It sounds like she was gone.
From a father.
Right,
yeah.
Right. We really don't know, but we know that she was absent and she wasn't able to be with you. And so you carry that with you. And like Alice is saying, you enter into relationship with that in between you and the other person. And so we aren't even aware when we recreate our childhood, because that's something that you haven't been able to resolve. You're recreating it in these new relationships.
But Patrick, there's something so different about you in comparison to your parents from what little we know about mm-hmm. them. You are a man who cares very deeply. You listen to New Life. You look mm-hmm. for information to help you heal. And then you risk a call like this. So what is it about you and your character that has you taking these bold steps and courageous risks already?
Well, thank you for sharing that. That was kind.
Patrick, step out of your comfort zone, maybe. Find one guy that you know, at church or otherwise, that you think might be a safe person. Ask him to go to breakfast or lunch or a meal or a coffee or something, and just sit and see if you think he is safe and start sharing with him. And if that feels good and you guys click, invite somebody else in. Mm-hmm. See if you can get a group of three or four guys. And if you can start doing that on a weekly, every other week basis, it'll change you. It'll change mm-hmm. things. I've been with a group for 39 years.
Wow.
Same guys every week. And I sometimes wish I didn't have a family that I had to go to Thanksgiving and Christmas with, mm-hmm. because I'd rather spend it with these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get there. And I think the therapist to help you get started is a great idea.
And we can connect you with that therapist. Mm-hmm. We can help find one right in your area. My impression of you, Patrick, is this is a guy worth knowing.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Patrick, how about we send you, I'm thinking healing is a choice. What do you guys
think? Oh, yeah. Great.
We're going to send that book to you. It's a really good book that will help you in a lot of ways with what you're struggling with. But thank you so much mm-hmm. for your call. Boy, I feel for guys that feel mm-hmm. like that. That's just hard because there's so many good guys out there.
Yeah.
You know what? I want to, I'm not sure I can read what that name is. It looks like Tisha. Okay. Tisha in Bloomington watches us on YouTube. Hi, Tisha. How can we help you today?
Hey, Larry. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure enough.
excuse me. So I actually am calling in with an update.
I love it.
I've called in a couple of times over the last year and a half, and God's just really been working hot and heavy in my life. It's been good. It's been hard, but it's been really good. The last time I called was back in October, November, I think, and I was getting ready to make a move. And I went ahead and made that move, and through the course of, series of events, I recognized that I needed to attend the Emotional Freedom Workshop that you guys had back in March. And through that, the Lord just really unlocked further doors that had been closed in my own emotional regulation, really. And I'm so grateful and so thankful for the work that you guys did. And I know, Alice, you were in on that session in one of the groups. And I'm just so grateful for that work that we do in those workshops. And I wanted to encourage anyone who's listening, if you guys are on the fence, you're scared to death, that's okay. Go in scared, because freedom's on the other side. And the moment in time of pain that we get, that we experience, only lasts for a brief season, and then freedom and peace is on the other side. And so I just want to encourage anyone who's listening.
Tisha, we'll send you a check next week.
I know, so really.
Thank you.
Better than Larry could have said.
That's right.
Tisha, I'm so glad that you pointed out that I was part of that group, because I'm just bursting with pride,
I can see her,
sister. And I recognize your voice, and I am just so happy for you. You have done a lot of hard work.
Folks, Emotional Freedom is a week from this Saturday. It's online one day, and it will be amazing. We've got Steve, Chris Williams, and Jackie Mac Harris all presenting. And no matter what your struggle is, they can help you break through, along with the group. The group exercise is the thing. That's what makes these workshops incredible. So, thank you for calling. What book would you like?
Tisha, was there one more thing you wanted to say?
I don't know. Yes, there was. There was actually a second follow-up. This is separate, but I had called in last September with some questions about my boyfriend. We've been best friends for 8 years, and recently, we've been dating for about a year and a half. And there were some, concerns I had, and Steve encouraged me not to move forward with him until he had been in counseling. And so I gave him that, and I said, I can't move forward until you do this, because I want a healthy relationship with you. And it's been 7 months, and the results are astounding. Mm-hmm. He's choosing good things.
Healthy
things. And it's been life-changing, because he's with a new life counselor. And it just, people need encouragement, and sometimes people we love the most need help too. I'm just seeing God work in deeper ways this year than I did last year. Mm. For us, for me and my boyfriend, growth is slow, but there's so much grace, and we have an excellent support group, and New Life is one of our support groups. And I can't describe how grateful I am.
Well, keep on going. That's okay.
You want me to keep going?
How much more time would you like?
Book. Yes. I can write a book for you.
Well, thank you so much for calling. I was just so grateful. I feel like I can go home now content.
I'm glad.
Do
you have our latest Freedom from Anxiety and Peace devotional?
100 days. Yeah.
100 days. Yeah.
We'll send that to you.
The purple one.
Okay, that sounds perfect. Thank you.
All right, well, thank you for calling. I'll look forward to hearing from you again in a couple of months that you're engaged and ready to go.
I will.
Keep updating.
Definitely. Keep it going.
Keep listening to Steve. Yes, he's a good guy.
God bless you, girl.
Yes.
Okay. Bye-bye.
You guys too. Thank you.
Wow. Well, you know what? We talked about that workshop. I want to talk about the other one real quick. We've got just a minute. Testimony from an Everyman's Battle recent attendee. At this workshop, I was anxious about confronting my problems and discussing them with strangers. But right from the start, our group leader helped me feel accepted and loved. I realized I wasn't alone. I had brothers in this battle help me. This workshop exceeded any expectations, has transformed me to my core. I feel truly blessed to have attended. God showed up in a powerful way, and I'll never be the same. Well, it's just the start of a journey to reconcile with my spouse. I'm encouraged and hopeful. Guy, is Saturday, Every Man's Battle, online one day. And hear what this guy said. I mean, it transformed into his core. Wouldn't you like that rather than struggling with all the junk you're struggling with? It's just painful sometimes to see what guys are dealing with. But you can overcome this. God will show up. The Holy Spirit will change you. It'll be a great time. Call us, 800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back, and we're going to be here an hour after this hour. We've got calls up there. We're going to take them, and we would like a few more. Call us at 800-229-3000 so we can... I'm talking generic we, Allison.
Yes. Well, and just to comment, Alice, I love what you just shared because you have known Tish.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen such a difference in her, and that's so fun. We love that.
Yeah.
Right?
And it happens all the time with people that engage with New Life because what we've learned and what we can teach works. Mm-hmm. It works at a supernatural level because
the Holy Spirit blesses it.
Exactly, because God is always at those weekends with us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, let's talk with Ruthie. Ruthie is listens on the internet. She's in Dallas, Texas, and she's got a question for us. Ruthie, how can we help you?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm just really anxious to talk with y'all because I need wisdom, and I don't know the right thing to do, but I have a 22-year-old son, and he lives with me. He's actually wonderful. He's a strong Christian. He's respectful. He goes to college and works. He really just does all the right things. But there's a situation that's arisen, and I just don't know how to handle it. So he came to me and asked if we could talk. He told me he knew I wouldn't like it, but I just need to hear him out, and he just wants me to basically kind of give him the green light so that he doesn't feel like he's just disrespecting me, but he knows it's not what I want. He wants to go on an extensive trip in the United States with his girlfriend, and he's committed to sexual purity, and I'm so grateful and relieved, and I know that that's ideal for him, and I see that that's just the exact wrong thing to do. There's no wisdom in that, I think. But we talked about it. He said that what I'm thinking about is what other people think and what I don't get, because I'm so old that I don't have any idea what's really going on in today's culture. But it's what everybody thinks anyway. Everybody. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know anybody except him, including all the kids he grew up in youth group and everything with. They all are definitely not committed to sexual purity, to say the least. And he just feels like it's not trusting him, and
okay, we got the picture, not, Ruthie. What should Ruthie do?
Well, would you tell us, Ruthie, what is his father's position in his life, and what is his father's position in his life?
Well, long ago he lost his way, so he has no place in his life really. There's a very infrequent, like maybe at the most once a year, kind of a bit of a contact. He just has no place in his life.
And are you remarried?
No.
Okay.
No. And I raised him by myself.
You've done an amazing job.
You have. Seriously.
We rarely get to hear all these positives in a call.
Yeah.
So bravo, and what a young man you've raised. As he brought the trip to you, did he talk about the safeguards that he was going to put in place to maintain his sexual purity?
No, he I mean the plan a few times maybe camp, but outside of that, it would be to stay at an Airbnb where there'd be separate rooms. And he thinks that it's ridiculous to suggest that there needs to be. He said, you know, I mean, this is what he wants. It's what he's going to do.
And is it just the two of them on the trip?
Yes.
Okay.
And I suggested, like, maybe someone could go with them, that would be an option. I even said I might be able to work it out. He responded
no,
to that.
No,
oh,
no.
Ruthie, he really...
He's not going to take you up on that.
Oh, my gosh.
Is he asking you to fund the trip?
No.
Oh,
not a penny.
Just wants approval.
He just wants... Well, and maybe even not total approval. Mm-hmm. He just wants me not to freak out.
So maybe he's just giving you the courtesy of informing you. I don't hear that he's asking your...
like that.
Yeah, I don't hear that he's asking your permission. What?
Well, the thing is, like, I mean, what I know is if I really threw my weight around, he wouldn't go. I think that. But I also think that the cost to the relationship, like, I don't want... I mean, he did give me the courtesy. I told him that I know that it's not best for him. I know that he'll regret it. And I said, I don't know how to express myself well enough for you to get it. I said, would you give me time to talk to some people that maybe could help me get my point across in a better way? And he said, sure.
And Ruthie, historically, have you thrown your weight around with him to get him to make the right choice?
Not really. I really haven't had to. He's very respectful. He's a really good kid. And he's one of four, and my kids are all Christians. And pretty much, I mean, to tell you the truth, like growing up, like in high school, you know, like all the people would say to my kids, like, I can't even believe you're not Mormon because you act like you're Mormon. But we're not Mormon.
You hear the music, so you've laid it out very well for us, and we'll be able to come back to you with some good strategy.
We'll be back right after this, Ruthie. Hold on.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the New Life member thank you gift of the New Life Journal, 100 Days of Peace, 7 Ways to Choose Healing, Growth Has No Boundaries, a Restoration Bible, and a New Life grocery tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits, like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back. We're talking to Ruthie. Her 22-year-old son wants to take a trip with his girlfriend. He's a really good kid, and Ruthie's struggling with it, and Jill has some thoughts.
Yeah, and Ruthie, I hear you, and I hear your concerns, and... unfortunately, the younger generation does look at things differently than we look at things. I feel like that avoiding the appearance of evil is a much bigger deal for us older folk than it is for the younger folks. Like, they don't think that. They think it's normal, and partly because so many of them have given up on even trying to adhere to any Christian standards. I think you have done a phenomenal job with your son. I, like, as a mother at 22 with a kid that is doing everything right, I think you have to give him some credit. And I would voice concerns.
I do.
Okay.
I
would voice concerns that it does bother you because of the appearance of evil. And that I would ask him to examine his heart with the Lord. Where is the Lord in this decision, since he professes to be a strong Christian? As well as sometimes when we are such a strong witness for the Lord, we get attacked, right? And is he setting himself up for an attack? And is he prepared for that? That it actually might be more of a struggle than he thinks. That he might have this sense of confidence, like, no, I'm invested in purity. But when we set ourselves up, we can become vulnerable because we don't think that we're vulnerable. And so just to be prepared for those things. But in the long run, I think that you've raised him well. And these are the years to start letting him make his own mistakes, really.
I don't disagree with anything at all you're saying. You guys okay. are spot on. But as a dad, here's what I would say to him. I raised two boys. And I would say, son, it might be more than what you're thinking. And some of the temptations might be hard. I trust you. You've done really well. You know what's right. You know what's wrong. Go and have a good time. If you get in trouble somewhere, I'm here. Give me a call. But I'm trusting you, and have a good trip. And I look forward to hearing from you along the way. That's what I would do.
And I have a slightly different angle to add.
Okay.
I want to caution you, Ruthie. And I don't hear this from you, but it's true for most of us mothers. Too much repetition of the truth can lead to rebellion. Mm. And so we have to be very cautious
Good
with
point.
How much we remind our children of what they already know and they've already heard from us. And then also, if we are willing to confess, if we've been imperfect in this area, I have, Ruthie, confess to our children, you know what? I was trying to be pure before marriage. I fell short. So I know how hard it is. And that's part of my concern for you, because I fell short too. That brings a rush of grace into the conversation.
Ruthie, I want to thank you for the call. That was a good call. And I'm going to pray for your son, that he makes good decisions along the way. And I trust you'll let him go, but that's your decision and how you deal with it. I want to remind everybody we're here another hour. Give us a call, 800-229-3000. We want to talk to you. Those of you that are on the line and waiting, please hold on as we go. We're going to get your call eventually. There is a call up there I wanted to talk. That was Lori, Fairfax, Virginia. I think that's line, yep, line four. Lori listens on WAVA. Hello, Lori. How can we help you?
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Are you able to hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, great. Basically, feel like I've exhausted everything I know to do to help myself. I struggle with clinical depression and also eating disorder. I feel like I have binge eating disorder, and it's resulted in significant obesity, actually. They kind of cycle and play off of each other, and I just don't know how to break the cycle. I've tried many things. I'm on antidepressants. I see a new life counselor. I've gone to Weight Watchers for support group, and I've also had in the past had a personal trainer that I work with one-on-one a couple times a week. I just don't know where else to go from here. I'm really beginning to struggle to even get out of bed to continue functioning with my job. My eating is getting ratcheted up. It seems to be getting worse and worse, specifically with sugar. And I just feel like I've exhausted everything I know to do to help myself.
Sure. Jill, you've worked with a lot of overweight people through the years.
Lori, how old are you? And do you mind telling us? Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm 59.
Okay. And what's your weight range?
Oh, God. It's like 275.
Okay.
I'm like at least 100 pounds overweight.
Okay. And you've struggled with this lifelong, or when did you start with the eating disorder?
I actually, as a teen, I was actually anorexic.
Okay.
And then through my early adulthood, I managed a pretty stable weight. Then in my 40s, I began to gain weight, was able to lose 90. And then about 7 years ago, I started gaining weight and gained back everything I had lost plus more. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right. And Lori, have you and your therapist uncovered any issues that may have triggered the eating disorder?
Yeah, there's a lot of layers to it, for sure.
Yeah.
I'm an emotional eater.
Mm-hmm.
I caregave for, co-caregave for both my parents for the last 5 years till they both passed.
Oh, Lori.
It was a lot of stress.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I lost my dad in just 1 year ago on my birthday to brain cancer.
Oh, wow.
And 3 years prior, my mother to a massive stroke.
Well,
it's been a lot. It's been a lot.
Yeah, so no wonder in the last several years you've put on even more weight.
Yeah.
Girl, can I tell you that even though you wish you were doing better, I've got to say, with what you have been through, the little bit that you've shared with us, you've done amazing. You cared for your parents. You loved on them. So even though there's always room for improvement, there's some relapse in your story, but woman, you keep at it.
Mm-hmm.
You're still seeing your therapist. You're still working this. I'm so proud of you and where you are even today in your life.
Thank you. That's just the tip of the iceberg. I won't go into it all.
I believe
you. Thank you for validating.
Yeah.
It's no small thing to care for the declining aging parent.
No. No, and sometimes the food just holds you together, right? Sometimes it's like the glue.
It really has. I turn to that to cope. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't do, all those other things. And so I guess that was been my go-to, but it's gotten, like every addiction, I guess, it's gotten worse and worse the more I relied on it. And I'm kind of scared. And
Lori, did you have to pull back from the Weight Watchers and the personal trainer, especially as you were caring for both of your parents? Did you have to pull back from that?
Yes. I had just gotten back into that after my dad finally passed a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
But then I've had to, for financial reasons, scale back on those support systems. But I don't know. I'm questioning. I feel like maybe I should just spend the money just because I just need the help. I can't do this alone.
No, you can't do it alone. I think the therapy, and hopefully it's someone who understands eating disorders, is really important, an important piece throughout this. Also, I know that Weight Watchers is a really good program. I often refer people to nutritionists, dietitians that specialize in eating disorders, and not all of them do. That can be a really important piece, someone that will work with you one-on-one. They deal a lot with the food and your body composition and body image issues, and that's a great team to have. I also think you need to add in a medical doctor in there, because you're in the years of perimenopause, if not menopause, for sure.
And Right?
So you have so many factors kind of working against you that you really do need a team. Eating disorders is something where you need a team. And letting go of the weight is the last thing that usually goes.
And I hear your hesitation to invest in your treatment, which is understandable. This can be very costly. But your health and well-being are worth the investment and necessary for what will come in the next season.
Lori, thank you for your call. We're going to be back right after this, and we'll figure out what to close it up with.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back. And Jill, you have another thought or
well,
two.
Well, Lori, I just would really encourage you to keep trying, to not give up. Yesterday when we were on the show, Chris said we grow until we die, right? Yeah. That we need to keep at it because we never arrive. And so growth is a lifelong process, and I know it gets old. And so sometimes you need to switch it up and get new input, but it sounds like there's been so many things that have knocked you down. And so we really encourage you to maybe try some of the things that we suggested that are maybe a little different than what you have done. And I think the book, Lose It for Life, it's a good one. And Steve has worked with so many people struggling with weight loss, mm-hmm. as have I.
And he did himself.
Yeah. And it really does work. But you need a team around you to deal with it, not just from the outside, but then also from the inside, from all angles.
We'll send that book to you, Lori. Thank you. Okay, just a reminder, we're here one more hour, 800-229-3000, if you'd like to talk to Alice and Jill, and give them a tough one.
And Larry.
I keep the phones going, that's about it. Let's talk with Dave. Dave is calling from Baltimore, Maryland, listens on WAVA. We've had some good WAVA calls today. Dave, how can we help you?
Hi, just a little, I just have an issue with my wife that's been going on for some time. We've been married for 2 years, or just a little over 2 years, and she hasn't hardly talked to me at all for almost a year. September of the year, actually.
Wow.
I actually got two sentences out of her yesterday. Other than that, before that, we had a small discussion at the turn of the year. I asked her if maybe we could start over or try to, you know, make it better. And she's like, I don't know. But so we're both Christians. We both lean on the Lord. It's just that things are difficult.
Dave, what do you suppose her motivation is in pulling so far back from you?
The only thing she said to me is, the main thing that she said is, she said to me, you're exactly like my ex, meaning her ex-husband. We've both been previously married. The only thing I can gather out of that is, he claimed to be self-employed. I say that because, my understanding was that he didn't really make much money. He ran up a lot of debt. He got credit cards that she didn't know about, maxed them out. And then he cheated on her, and then she divorced him. I've never done those things. I am self-employed. She knew that going in. But I also told her I wasn't married to my self-employment. I'm actually currently looking at leaving what I'm not I'm a plumber by trade, but leaving what I'm doing to work for a company, only in that I would make more money, or at least up till now I would make more money working for a company than what I make after I subtract my business expenses.
So Dave, I want you to look at, because you haven't been unfaithful and you're not a spendthrift like her ex-husband was. What do you, as you look back in these 2 years, especially that first year, how might you have hurt her, even though it was probably unintentional on your part?
The only thing I can think of is that leading up to this, till when this final episode started, leading up to that, the first year was like a roller coaster where she would get she would get quiet for a couple weeks, and then things would be good for a week, 10 days, and then she would go right back into that slump. That started a week after we got back.
But I need you, Dave, to talk about you, because we got you on the phone. Your wife is dealing with a lot of pain from her past marriage. Mm-hmm. But we got to try to help figure out, is there something about you that triggered this response in her? And you're imperfect, me too. So tell us about your imperfections.
Yeah, The only thing that comes to my mind would be that when she would shut down previously, the only way I could get her to talk to me would be to push her buttons to make her angry. Mm-hmm. Because when she was angry, then she would talk, and then things would kind of get resolved, or she would get whatever she was stuffing.
Dave, this is perfect that you're telling us this.
Know.
Dave, your motivation was good. You were trying to draw her out, but your method was hurtful, and you became, unintentionally, you became unsafe for her to open up to. And so the way that you went about this shut her down even more from you, and you've got some repair work to do with her. Now, I think you're being punished for the sins of her ex-husband, certainly, but unfortunately, you added to that by intentionally pushing her buttons to try to draw her out. Now, notice, Dave, how long it took for me to get that from you. To me, that means you don't quickly come to that with your wife either. You're looking at her as the problem rather than being able to come with a flood of humility to say, I went about this so wrong in that first year, and I want to learn. I need to learn how to do this better with you. Come to couples therapy so the therapist can teach me how to do this better because I've gone about it all wrong.
All right. No, I've talked to her about therapy, and she won't. She has no end.
And so have you started it for yourself yet?
No.
Okay, you got to. And that will show her that it's a little investment of trust of, Dave is trying to become a safer guy. I need you to be super patient with her, though, because there is a year's worth of rupture. And then however much time she was married to her ex-husband, there's a whole long historical wound there. And the pain is leaking out on you.
Mm-hmm. And even though, Dave, it may be that you were supposed to fix all of the problems from the past, and she's ended up with some of the same feelings that she's carried lifelong, even though that may be true, you still can only work on your part. And as you do that, you're showing her something different. And I would even ask her, I don't know if she'll give it to you or not, but ask her, could you tell me some things that I need to work on in therapy, that I need to tell the therapist about me that would help our relationship?
Might even be worth, Dave, having her listen to this program. Mm-hmm. Go on, get the podcast. Have her listen to what Alice shared and what you shared.
And, Dave, we can tell you're a good guy. Yeah. I can tell that you're a good man with a good heart. You just need to learn some new methods, and you can easily do that with a therapist.
So what book could we send to Dave?
How We Love?
Oh, yeah. Perfect.
Oh, that's a really good book.
Yep.
Okay, Dave, we're going to send that to you. It's a book worth reading with your wife. So I hope that'll help you. You know what? We've got a lot of things going on. I want to just tell a quick little story. This week, this Sunday, my son preached at his church, and he preached out of Psalm 1. And Psalm 1 was the first Bible verse I memorized when I was being discipled by a pastor when I was engaged. I want to read the first few verses for you quickly. How happy is the one who does not walk in the advice of the wicked, or stand in the pathway with sinners, or sit in the company of mockers. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night. He's like a tree planted beside flowing streams that bears its fruit in its season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. That's our prayer for you, folks. We pray that you'll be like that tree planted by the rivers of water. And we think that we can help when you call. Call us. We're here another hour, 800-229-3000, and get some really good advice from Jill and Alice. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.